Welcome to the She Wears Armor podcast. I'm your host, Heather Lauder. I'm a daughter of the king, a wife, a mama to six, podcaster, coach, and advocate. I'm a survivor of domestic abuse and a former family law paralegal. I know you thought getting away from your abuser would feel like freedom, but now it seems like staying would have been easier. You're not only battling your ex, now you're up against a broken justice system, agencies that are corrupt, and dealing with officials who act like you're a bother. You are emotionally and financially drained and don't know how much more you can handle. If you're ready to build and implement a strategic action plan for your high conflict court case, find healing after toxic relationships, and learn your true identity in Christ, go grab a caffeinated drink, a notepad, and that favorite pen you probably took from someone, and let's get cracking. Welcome back, friends. Welcome to episode 3 of She Wears Armor. Today we're going to be talking a little bit more about destructive marriages. So, can you stay in a battlefield that is your own home when you're in a destructive marriage? How can we thrive regardless of our decision to stay in the marriage or leave through the lens of faith? Discover strategies rooted in love, grace, and resilience that can empower you to stand firm in the storm. Tune in and find the strength to face your struggles with courage, faith, and hope. Because in the armor of God, you are never alone. You don't want to miss this empowering episode.
Please be aware that any advice provided is not to be considered legal counsel or therapy. I am not a licensed attorney or therapist, and my responses are for informational purposes only. For specific legal or therapeutic concerns, please consult with a qualified professional in the respective field.
Hey guys, before we dive in, just a quick reminder. Please share this podcast with your friends. Screenshot it, share it on your Instagram and Facebook, and be sure to tag me in it so I can give you a shout out and a thank you. Make sure you're following all of my social media accounts to keep up to date on what's going on. I would also love to discuss some of these topics with you and get your ideas about what you want to hear on this podcast. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you will receive notifications when something new is happening. Please, and most importantly, take a minute to give me some stars and write a little review on Apple iTunes. This is how you can help other women find my content. The ranking will boost me up in the algorithm so they can get the help for themselves or someone they love. All right, let's go. In Psalm 139:14, David is praying to God and he says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." God has created billions of humans by now, but we are not like other mass-produced products. God puts a lot of care, thought, and attention into the way that he made us. For instance, so that we could protect ourselves from danger, he created us with a fight, flight, or freeze response. It happens through hormonal and physiological changes in our bodies that allow us to react quickly. Fight, flight, or freeze isn't a conscious decision. Rather, it is an automatic reaction that you can't control. The reaction begins in our brain, shooting signals to the appropriate places, causing adrenaline and cortisol, which is the stress hormone, to be released into our bodies. There are physiological changes that happen in our bodies that affect our heart rate, breathing, sight, hearing, skin, hands and feet, our pain perception, and even our blood. Each person is unique in how their body responds to these changes, and in a normal person, the body returns back to its natural state after 20 to 30 minutes. The problem therein lies when you have a history of trauma in your life. Your body gets stuck in the fight, flight, or freeze response and becomes overreactive. So even when there is no threat, your body and brain is operating as if there were. Research shows that such long-term activation of the stress system can have a hazardous, even lethal effect on your body, increasing the risk of obesity, heart disease, depression, and many other illnesses. Here I am. I have done a lot of work to heal mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But I can tell you this. The trauma took its toll on my body. So whether you stay in a destructive marriage or you leave it, you must thrive regardless. At this point, you've heard me say that if your husband has patterns of actions or attitudes that tear you down or inhibit your personal growth, then you're in a destructive marriage. Recognizing it is the first step. In the second episode, we went through brokenness and discussed how anyone can have a behavior that is abusive. You've come to the realization that this is where your marriage is. So now what? Do you have choices? Yes. You can stay well or leave well. Either way, you have to make the choice to face your own brokenness and face the reality of where your husband is with his brokenness. There is no one-size-fits-all in life. This is hard, but this is real life and it happens every day. You know your why. It could be many different reasons. Maybe you're clinging to the hope that your husband will change, or you're scared to be on your own. You may have a newborn that is breastfeeding and you feel as though your husband won't take care of her the way that you do, so you just need some time until she gets older. You aren't financially ready. You need to get a job and figure out, how am I going to make this happen? You may even want to leave, but he's threatened to take your children or kill you, and you believe it. There can be many different reasons you choose to stay in your marriage. Today, I'm going to teach you, whether you stay in your destructive marriage or leave, you can and you must thrive regardless. All right, y'all, as we get into this teaching part of the podcast, I want you to know that if you hear something in the background, that is my little wiener dog, Brody, snoring. He is really loud. He's had a snack and he's laid down. So as long as he's being quiet and none of the delivery people drive up with my packages, he'll be quiet other than his snoring. So if you hear that, that's what's going on. There's always something going on. I think in the first episode, there was something going on. I think it was Brian was yelling in his sleep. And I know that a woodpecker has been really loud, maybe on episode 2. So there's no telling what you'll hear in my podcast. All right, y'all. So moving on. You must take care of yourself. God gave us that nurturing spirit as women. We are always taking care of others, our husbands, our children, our parents, our friends, whomever. But we have to start putting ourselves first. We can't pour from an empty cup. I know you've heard that before. Also, we are only hurting ourselves when we keep trying to earn someone's love and they ignore us, but we keep trying. We are giving them ammunition to hurt us. We have to protect ourselves from others and toxic environments. God warns us of this. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Matthew 7:6. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We have to take care of our spiritual needs. The greatest obstacle that hinders healing is our busy lifestyle. We neglect these things that are important to God, such as maintaining the spiritual and emotional part of our being. You may recall that we discussed that salvation is not the end, rather it is the beginning. I also told you that when we are saved, it is God's desire that we go through a transformation by walking with Him through His Word. This is the sanctification process. This is also how we renew our mind. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We do this in 4 steps. First is time in prayer. Second is learning God's word. Third is meditating on God's word. And fourth is applying God's word to our lives. Our physical needs must be met as well. We should be maintaining the physical part of our being by these 4 steps: having 8 full hours of sleep, eating a proper diet, having regular doctor visits, and exercising regularly. At least walk. This releases the toxins like cortisol, the stress hormone that I mentioned earlier. It releases that during the walk onto our mental needs. We need to have a reality check. Are you connected with others outside of your home? Isolating yourself is a terrible mistake. If you are only listening to the point of view from your abuser, then his perspective becomes your reality. Number 2, you need to learn something new. Broaden your mind. Learn to think for yourself. The next way to take care of yourself is to be on guard. King Solomon said it best, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Proverbs 4:23. There are about 3 reasons that this is necessary. Number 1 is your heart is extremely valuable. We don't bother guarding things that aren't worth anything, right? We set our garbage out the night before pickup and leave it completely unguarded. Why? It ain't worth nothing no more. Our heart is the essence of who we are. It is our authentic self, our core. If we allow our husbands to talk trash to us, then we start to feel worthless. And you're not worthless. You are the daughter of a king. The second reason is, our heart is the source of everything we do. Wellspring of life. In other words, it is the source of everything else in our life. Whatever is in your heart, your thoughts, your words, your actions, it all comes from that. Here in the mountains of North Carolina, we have natural springs underground. The water from these springs comes up from underground and then it runs off into creeks and streams. If you dam it up, you stop the flow of what is coming out of it. If you add toxins to it, you poison everything else downstream. Everything downstream depends on the condition of the spring. Same thing with your heart. If your heart is hardened up, no love comes out. If your heart has the words of a toxic husband in it, it threatens everyone around you. Your family, your friends, your ministry, your job, and your legacy. The third reason we guard our heart is that our heart is under constant attack. King Solomon uses the word guard. This implies that someone or something is trying to take it. There's a battle going on. So many have no clue. And then you have Christians that know about it or heard about it, but they get all bent out of shape when you mention it, thinking you're getting all woo-woo. When you talk about the spiritual war going on around them in the unseen realm, they kind of freak out. Some of them, anyway. There is a devil, and he is our enemy, and he is bent on destroying us. The next thing that we need to guard is our thoughts. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Taking your thoughts captive simply means gaining control over what you think about yourself and your life. You are guarding your mind from allowing your emotions to take over. Use your emotions as warning signs, like those little lights on the dash of your car. God gave us emotions to act as signals. When the oil light comes on, you know you need oil. When the gas gauge is on E, then you know you need fuel. When these feelings arise, it is a sign that we need to take care of something spiritually. When we feel an emotion, the next thing we have is a thought. This is where we take that thought in. Take it captive. Examine it. Compare it against Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. All of those. If it does compare, yes, it's good, keep on trucking. If no, then we need to stop there. Get into the Word and see what God says about this thought. Because the next thing that comes is a behavior. So going from feeling an emotion to that emotion, making us think a certain way, giving us a thought, to making us react, a behavior. Emotion, thought, behavior. That final step, the behavior, that's what affects our relationships. Our behavior has consequences. So just like the heart, the mind is important. What you allow to come into your mind through your ears and eyes also has an effect on what you think. When your husband is constantly telling you that you're a terrible mom or a wife, then soon you'll start believing that. You have to take charge of your life God's way. The next way that we need to take care of ourselves is to practice gratitude. Look for the things that you're grateful for in your life. You will not believe how much this will change your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Gratitude is a virtue as well as a commandment. We should have a thankful heart and acknowledge our many gifts continuously. There are many examples of people in the Bible who were thankful even when their circumstances were difficult. Mary, for instance, was thankful that she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. The widow in the temple was so thankful that she gave all she had, which was just 2 mites. Jesus honored her gift above all others. Mary Magdalene, she was thankful that Jesus saved her and delivered her from a life of sin. Practicing thanksgiving is important because you are taking time to pause and to be mindful of the blessings that you have. Many of us get so caught up in our day-to-day routines that we fail to stop and acknowledge all of the things we have. To demonstrate and celebrate gratitude, we don't need a particular holiday to show thankfulness. Conveying gratitude should be practiced daily. And last but not least, you need to prepare to be independent. This can be difficult for some women because what their idea of marriage is, the expectations they set for their marriage, is over. It's gone. You need to understand that your husband can leave you too, even in a happy marriage. You can easily become a widow. Then what? You have to know how to function physically, emotionally, spiritually, and even financially. You can't allow yourself to become so dependent on someone that you can't handle things on your own. That makes you very vulnerable, especially if you are in a destructive marriage. You need to be able to take care of yourself and your children if you have any. If you are above the age of 18, you are an adult and you must know how to act like one. I had so many women come in the law office that had no clue what to do about their finances, didn't know what equity in their home was, just didn't know anything. You need to prepare for those things so that you know what's coming. Now is the time to change your focus and act. You're in a destructive marriage. This automatically means that one of you is working on the marriage and the other isn't. So stop trying to be Bob the Builder. Can we fix it? No, you can't. Your marriage, you can't fix it by yourself. And you cannot fix him. You can't change him. Jesus is the only one that can change anyone. So we are taking off the old of being the victim, and we're going to put on the new of being a survivor. What is it that you need to survive? What actions do you need to take to get where you need to be? It's time to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and pull up our bootstraps. Does preparing yourself mean you have to leave right now? No. You can stay where you are if you're safe. If you have prepared to leave, you can. That also doesn't mean that you have to immediately start the divorce process. Maybe a separation is what both of you need so that you can figure some things out. Your situation is unique to you. This stuff is really hard, guys, but you need to be in a place mentally, physically, and emotionally that you are prepared to make choices. The more decision-making that you do, the stronger you will grow and the better you're going to feel. This takes time. At first, you are going to have to make many choices that don't feel good. They're going to be really scary, but you're going to have to allow your feelings to catch up with your actions. Give yourself time to do that. But if you don't make any choices, then you are going to get what you already got. As we close out today's episode, let me remind you, we didn't think our marriage was going to turn out like this, but reality is, it has. We don't have to know what is going to happen next. We just have to step out on faith and allow God to direct our steps. Lean into Him. Surrender it all over to Him. And I promise you will find rest in Him. It won't be easy. In fact, some days will feel unbearable and you will want to give up. Those are the days you need Him the most. So start taking care of yourself now. Get spiritually holy and emotionally whole by talking to God. Pray. Renew your mind by learning God's word, meditating on God's word, and applying His word to your life. Get your physical health in check. Your body is like an engine. If you put sugar in the tank, it won't run. Put fuel in it and maintain it. You will get more mileage, right? So get some sleep, get exercise, eat healthy, and go see your doctor. No stinking thinking. I borrowed that one from my pastor. Get your mind right. Connect with others. Don't isolate yourself. The devil wants you to isolate. It makes you an easier target. Learn something new, expand your mind, and learn to think for yourself. Be on guard. Guard your heart, the wellspring of your life, and guard your mind. Take your thoughts captive and replace them with what God says and who God says you are. Practice gratitude. If you are thankful for what you have, you will ultimately be a happier person. It's science, people. Also, there are others out there that have it way worse than you. And lastly, prepare to be independent. Remove that victim mentality. You got bucked off, now get up, dust off, and get it together. Change your focus to what it is going to take to meet your goals and take action. All right, so thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of She Wears Armor, where we explore the challenging terrain of destructive marriages. Remember, whether you choose to stay or leave, prioritize your well-being and faith above all else. May you find strength in your armor and courage in your convictions as you navigate this journey. Until next time, stay resilient, stay empowered, and always remember that you're never alone in your battles. May God's love and peace fill your hearts and your homes. God bless. Hey sis, I can't even begin to explain how much it means to me that you are here and listening to this show. I am beyond grateful for you. If you enjoyed it or learned anything today, share it with your friends. Screenshot it, share it on your Instagram and Facebook, and be sure to tag me in it so I can give you a shout out and a thank you. Don't be a stranger. Make sure you are following all of my social media accounts to keep up to date on what's going on.
I look forward to discussing these topics and hearing your ideas on what you want to hear on this podcast next. So find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Hit the follow or subscribe button to be sure you are receiving those notifications when something new is happening. Please, and most importantly, help a sister out. Take a minute to show me some love. Give me some stars and write a little review on Apple iTunes. Send this Jesus-loving, truth-spitting, regular old country girl to the top of the algorithm so other women can find my content to help themselves or someone they love. Thanks so much for listening in, y'all. Remember, friends, forgive your enemies, it messes with their heads. Until next time, love and blessings, Heather.